Right, Adam.
Yes.
Adam, welcome to the John Covey podcast. This is episode 70.
Wow. 70 episodes.
I don't know, tell me about it. It's good. I'll tell you what, it's flying. It flies by so fast. Right, Adam. So, Adam Copley, you're a personal trainer and a competitive mountain bike athlete.
I am, yes.
Tell me about this.
The mountain biking, I'll start with that.
Okay, yeah.
I'll get into mountain biking after. I was just in the gym and I used to train sort of quite heavy,
sure,
doing a lot of heavy lifting. And I just fancied something. I moved house, so I moved out up to Warncliffe.
Okay.
I live in Deepcar now.
And you got the XC trial at Warncliffe, haven't you?
Yeah. I used to ride bikes a lot when I was a kid, like snowboarding, riding bikes,
sure,
and just doing stuff a little bit
bit of an adrenaline junkie.
Yeah. And I got back into riding bikes.
Awesome.
And then sort of, I've been riding now for a fair few years, started competing in various disciplines in the sport, and discovered cross country.
Right.
And I get a real buzz off the intensity of it. It's like a workout.
Is that the intensity in terms of the climbing and the hard work, or is it the adrenaline from like the downhill side?
Both.
Both.
I like riding. I love riding downhill. I live in Warncliffe where there's a lot of downhill trails.
But the intensity,
it's fantastic.
Seven hills.
It's a great place for anything outdoors.
Sure.
But the intensity, it comes from both sides. You get the intensity of the adrenaline rush of the downhills. Mm-hmm. But XC's, it's quite unique in the fact that it's a loop of a course.
Of course.
You're dropping into stuff that's not as technical as the stuff I ride most of the time,
sure,
but when your heart's going 160 beats per minute,
absolutely,
it makes everything more difficult. And it's a rewarding buzz when you finish that type 2 kind of fun.
Yeah.
When you sort of like, you lie down,
of
and then you just job done.
How did you get into that? I mean, like, what happened now? How did that occur?
I've got a mate that rides as well that I met here.
Right.
And should explain, here's the gym we're at.
Yes,
so I met him here. And I saw it, I think I was just browsing Facebook and saw there was a race at Parkwood Springs, which is sort of just up the road from here.
Okay.
I messaged him, I thought, you know, shall I enter this? And he said, yeah, you'll learn a lot. So I did. Turned up my first one and I blatantly a novice. I had the long downhill clothing on and I got schooled.
I got absolutely schooled.
Really?
Did you finish it?
I finished it. I was absolutely shattered.
Right, yes.
And then did my next one, did a bit more research, got a bit more experience.
Right.
Next time turned up, I got the cross-country Lycra on, cracked on with the racers and got better and better time.
Right.
And then now I ride for a local business as well. So
really? So you got the
bug? It's all developed.
Got the bug.
And I'm still going, yeah.
And then personal training, like where did that come about?
That was a weird one, because it was like a career I sort of didn't choose.
Okay.
It chose me. I initially wanted to be in the fire brigade when I was at school. And I went to college, studied public services.
Right.
And then I started to really enjoy the physical side of it.
Right, yeah.
And then when it came to university, that natural progression,
sure,
there wasn't anything I really enjoyed course-wise.
Right.
I didn't want to sort of go down law because I found it a bit boring.
Sure.
So all the practical courses were sort of sports focused.
Yes.
Jumped onto sport because I wanted to move to university.
Right.
So I jumped onto sport and then I really enjoyed the active side of it and the training. I'd trained in gyms since I was like 16.
Sure.
I'd always enjoyed that. And then I enjoyed helping people learn new exercises and training with people.
Right, okay.
So I sort of like grew into it,
sure,
found a love for strength and conditioning while I was studying down in Wales,
right, okay,
worked as a strength and conditioning sort of assistant coach down there.
So you actually did it as a job while you
were... I was at uni.
Oh, so you went to university and you got a job as a...
I was the assistant S&C coach for the university.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so.
Do you think that because you was doing it as a job, that's the thing that kept you in it? Do you think that you'd have come out of it? Do you think you'd have not been into the personal training world if you'd have not done that back then?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I was quite impressionable,
right,
and I was really lucky to have a lecturer who sort of got, you know, when you meet someone who gets you hooked on something and you sort of take a lot of inspiration.
Of course.
A guy called Ian Jeffries, he does a lot of writing for the National Strength and Conditioning Association.
Right, okay.
So I really found him to be like a phenomenal role model.
Brilliant.
And he used to do all these little things where he'd sort of, he'd pick up on little details that you did, and you'd get like a little wink off him, or he'd sort of give you a thumbs up.
Yeah, so that positive reassurance.
It was just, you sort of looked forward to seeing him, because there was something really cool about the guy, and he knew a lot without sort of being a bit arrogant or being sort of stubborn about what he knows.
Sure.
So
do you stay in touch?
I chat with a couple of guys sort of still down there,
and
I don't really chat with Ian as much, but I know a lot of people sort of from Sheffield know of him. So if I ever did any interns, I'd say I studied with Ian Jeffries.
And they know who he
they
was.
They don't know who he was, which is pretty cool.
That's great. That's
so
great.
I was quite proud to learn from him, really.
Of course. So. No, that's incredible. So you personal training, it's been in your blood, really. You fell into it, but actually it's part of your DNA. You're competitive by nature, clearly.
I am,
And so you run your own business now. You're the head of marketing for a privately run gym.
Yeah.
And an ambassador for numerous sponsors as well.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cope?
I've learned a lot.
Okay.
It's quite difficult because, you know, with everything going on.
Sure.
It's quite an addictive thing as well, and especially with so much technology now.
Yes.
Everything revolves around Instagram or social media.
Of course, especially in this industry.
Yeah. And I find I'm sort of on my phone a lot here, and I'm on my laptop a lot here.
Of course. Are you, when you say you're on your phone, are you on your phone just browsing other people's stuff or actually creating stuff yourself?
A bit of both. Mainly creating.
Good.
I do a lot of stuff on Photoshop.
Yeah.
I do a lot of video editing. So I'm doing a lot of stuff like that and pushing things like that.
Brilliant.
But I do like to browse other people's stuff.
Sure.
Because that's how you learn. Take inspiration.
Totally.
But coping, that's a good one. if you spoke to my partner, she probably wouldn't say I do.
Oh, really?
She'd tell me I'm addicted to it and I'm never off it. She sets me like challenges to leave my phone downstairs to charge it.
Do you ever look at the time screen on your phone? You know, it shows you the stats.
I get like an app that tells me every Saturday how many times
I say, Adam, put the phone down.
Live your life. I think that's why I enjoy mountain biking so much, though, because it's in my pocket and it's gone.
Yeah.
I don't use it for anything.
Of course.
On the bike. So.
Do you think it's a bad thing, the fact that you spend all this time on the phone?
I'd say there's positives and negatives to it. I would definitely say there are times when it does distract me from being at home.
Right, okay.
I've got a dog that sort of likes to chill out with me, and there are times where I'll be sat and he'll be sort of lying down, head on your leg as they do.
Yes.
And I'll be sort of typing away
on
the phone. So I think, plus a negative is it's easy to do your work.
Of course.
And it's easy to find inspiration and be creative.
Yeah.
But negatives are
there.
It's addictive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's nothing governing it either.
No.
It's just free access whenever you want.
Yeah, complete free reign. And you have to learn how to behave as well when you're marketing other people.
Of course.
How do
you
do
that? how do you do that?
You learn and you get told off. I think you've got to be quite careful.
Yeah.
But likewise, you've got to be able to sort of push the boundaries enough that you can be yourself.
Of course.
But stick within the limits of. So I'm massively concentrating at the minute on language and use of words.
Okay, yes.
I try not to say any language in front of my clients. I try not to do any of that on social media.
Right.
I think because of the world we live in now, everything becomes so much more sort of prominent.
Of course.
It's quite easy to slip into that.
Of course it is.
So you've got to make sort of conscious
decisions
to change anything and make yourself more approachable and see the bigger picture of what things do for your reputation.
No, I agree 100%. So then, the head of marketing, so that's for a privately run gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you been in that role?
I've been doing that now for a couple of years.
Really? Yeah. Do you enjoy that?
On certain days, yes. On certain days, no. It's good to learn from, and it is an interesting one because it's quite challenging at times. You've got to do a lot of research into what works, what doesn't.
Yeah.
I find I listen to a lot more informational podcasts now about marketing, and I like to listen to other business people about how they've changed their marketing strategies. It can be quite frustrating when you have your own ideas with your own business and what works there to do it for someone else because you've always got that opinion of this is what works.
You've got to stick with this. Yeah.
They might not have that opinion.
Sure.
I want it done like this. Yeah, but it doesn't look right. But ultimately, it's their say. So.
Got you.
Yeah.
And do you find that it either adds to your business or takes away?
I think it does add to your business because you're learning more.
Sure.
It can take away if you don't discipline yourself in working patterns.
Sure.
So if you sort of let yourself get carried away with one thing slips, and if you let yourself get carried away with the other, the other
slips. That's the same with your fitness though, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You have to let everything sort of flow around how you like to be organized.
Of course.
And that depends on how you as a person schedule
functions.
Your week.
Yeah.
Some people like the strict, I will do this at 10 o'clock, then this at 5:30. Some people are capable of just flowing through the day and everything's done at the end. I like to be structured.
You like to be structured?
Yeah. I like to... My partner hates it because I have a plan for everything.
So
I am very much like, I will go out on the bike 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. That is my time. Or if we ever go out for a meal, what time are we going? Well, let's off at 7:45. And then I'm sat down on the settee when she's still getting ready, like twiddling my thumbs.
Waiting to go, yeah.
I pace.
Have you always been like that, or is that a learnt behaviour?
I think since being self-employed, it's become more prominent because I'm sticking to other people's time slots and when they can come and see me.
Sure.
And I like to be quite punctual.
Right.
But that's that. I've always liked to be quite punctual and like to be early.
Got you. So, like, in terms of the marketing side, then, what's the key takeaway that you've learnt from it so far?
Information.
Okay.
People are quite quick nowadays to scroll past things. Scroll.
Yeah.
So you've got to give people things that are quite informative that make people want to dig in deeper.
Sure.
And information is something that you need to project in a very specific way, because it's got to be short enough to not be boring, but long enough to actually have a point to
it. Of course, yes.
If I say to you, like, eat vegetables, that's information of what you need to do, but it doesn't tell you why you need to do it.
Got you.
Then I could tell you why you need to eat them.
Yeah.
If that lasts for 5 minutes, you're going to go and snooze and think. So you've got to be, you've got to learn how to...
You've got to make it entertaining.
Yeah, give information in an entertaining way.
Sure.
And then I think finding an identity of how you are with your business and finding people that fit into that identity.
Of course. And I think that, I mean, you're absolutely right. One of the things I see so often is people are blending themselves into a personality that's not them because they think that they've modelled themselves on somebody else.
Yeah.
And we see that with goals as well. I mean, like, I see so many business owners and individuals who are striving for a certain goal because it's somebody that they've modelled themselves on, and they think that they want the same thing.
Yeah.
Only to get close or even achieve it and realise, actually, I'm not fulfilled at all. So it's incredible. Yeah.
You've got to do what makes you tick. And I think you've got to understand that with how many people are in the world, you're never going to please everyone.
Of course.
So don't try.
Yeah.
Get your target market and go for that.
And go for that. And have you done that, do you think, for yourself at the minute, in your own business?
I think subliminally,
yeah.
Because I like to, with my social media, I'm not a massive before and after pictures person.
Okay.
I'm not your stereotypical personal trainer that's sort of in the gym, the crazy diets, the competitions.
Okay. Yeah.
So my client base is very similar to what I do.
Yes.
And there are a lot of outdoor-based people, business owners, people like that who don't necessarily want the fantastic.
So it's fair to say that you think you've got a really good focus on who your target audience is.
Yes. And then that's something I've learned over time, not to try and please everybody.
Yeah. How did you learn that? Was there a lesson you can think of?
Just natural progression. I think one of the, again, the guy who got me into mountain biking, he's a business owner with himself. And he's always said to me, like, don't sell yourself short and know who you need to target and look at gaps in your market and look at what people aren't doing and what you can do to help people.
Yeah.
And Yeah, I know for a fact that if people want to do a bodybuilding competition, they're not going to come to me because I don't have that physique or the background.
Sure.
So, but people who want to do a distance run or a mountain bike event or a cycling event or anything outdoors based,
yeah,
they probably
come
will
to you, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I just look like a normal person.
Sure. I get that totally, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, like one of the things I say, and I say it with a little bit of tongue in cheek, but I say that if you're wanting to buy a Ferrari, you wouldn't get advice from someone driving a Ford.
No.
Do you know?
No.
And it's got a very much tongue in cheek, but yeah. Do you know, like the likelihood if you're driving a Ford, unless it's some rare Shelby something, so, like the likelihood is they can't show you the strategies to attain wealth to afford that kind of lifestyle. So it's safe to say with your business, with your mountain biking, with the head of this and the ambassador stuff, you like to be busy.
I do, yeah.
You like to be busy. So what's the biggest challenge that you do find in juggling all these things?
Aside from switching off, I think dedicating equal time
to each
one,
right.
Yeah, without getting carried away.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a perfectionist in the way that if I'm, say for example, on Photoshop, creating social media tile or creating an emailer.
Sure.
If something's not quite right,
okay.
I'll keep working on it and keep working, and then before I know it, like an hour's gone.
Yes.
And then
So you're aware of that?
Yeah.
How
I'm
do
aware
you discipline that?
You just have to be focused on the time, I think, and understand that you have got other things to do, and again, schedule. And I don't like to work in environments where I'm distracted.
Okay.
So when I'm when I've got my head switched on, I've got my earphones on, I've got some just chilled out ambient music in my background, and I'm just cracking on.
Yes.
And I can work quite quickly doing that. So I know roughly how long something's going to take me.
Yeah.
And it helps me plan.
Right, okay. That makes sense. How do you plan and schedule? Is there a certain system that you follow? Do you use a diary? Are you old school? Do you use online stuff? What do you use?
I like to use Google Calendar quite a lot. I was listening to one of your other podcasts.
Okay.
And she was saying on there, have an electronic diary.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And I've used Google Calendar for a while and I really like that because it pops up on your phone.
Yep.
So
notification.
You can have a notification. It'll play some music.
Yeah.
And it lets you know half an hour before as well.
Sure.
So you know when you've got a certain time limit coming. I like to use Google Calendar and I use that a lot to book clients in, to plan out when I go on the bike, to plan out when I'm training, to plan out when I'm doing certain.
What about personal life? Do you put that into the calendar as well?
No, I don't. I try not to schedule my personal life because I want it to be separate from work in the way that it doesn't matter if something in my personal life runs over.
Why do you think that is?
Because I like to work, but I also like to work for a purpose.
Absolutely.
And other people in my life are quite important, and they deserve the time to be focused on them.
That's good.
And if it runs over, it's more important being with them
than
writing an email.
That's powerful, but that you can identify that.
Yeah.
And you can live by that as well. I mean, like, how did you come into this? Because this is not the general thing, is it? You know, most people just get consumed by what they're doing.
I think I've always had a background where I've appreciated what people have done for me.
Okay.
My parents were good parents. They wouldn't let me sort of go unspoiled, but they wouldn't spoil me and
spoil me.
So I've always appreciated the things they did. They made me get a job when I was 16, so I had to work from an early age.
Did they discipline you?
Yeah, they did. I was terrified of my dad.
Okay.
But in the same way, I respected my dad.
Totally.
Because he's the hardest working person I know.
Yes.
So the work ethic comes from him.
Got you.
But at the same time, I've always appreciated the things people do.
Of course.
And it's very important to do that.
Majorly. And like I said, it's really great to hear that you've identified that, because most people don't. You know, they will just bury their head, get stuck into things, and they'll make a conscious decision to spend time doing the wrong things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate side of it all. So you said that you kind of juggle between the few. And they kind of do help a little bit in terms of each other as well. I mean, like, which one do you enjoy the most?
It depends what kind of day I'm having. I like personal training because I get to meet a whole range of different people.
You mean when you're training somebody?
Yeah.
Not training yourself, yeah.
Yeah, I love training other people, and I love the challenges that different people bring to the table. With how I sort of structure my business and how I work with my clients, I generally focus on them. And my sort of ethos with personal training is, if I'm training someone and they walk out of the gym door feeling better about themselves, then I've done my job.
And
that can come from a tough session in the gym.
Yeah.
It can come from offloading anything they've got that's going on at work.
Do you think that's more important than the result that they get, the fact that they feel good?
Yeah, I do. I do, for two reasons. One is, from a business perspective, they keep coming back because you make them feel good.
Uh-huh.
And two, you make them feel good, and if someone does feel good about themselves and if their morale is high, they will want to improve, and they'll want to push on that and keep going forward. So I do think that's more important than
it's interesting.
The fat loss result. You can always change a fat loss result. It's never too late.
I totally agree, to be honest with you. I mean, I think that the thing is, we know that the way that we feel determines the results that we get, because they're all connected. So, if you feel bad, the amount of action that you take will be little.
Yeah.
And if you take little action, the result that you're going to get is little or none.
Yeah. When you're down, it's easy to stay there.
Of course. Whereas if you feel good,
you're constantly going upwards.
You want to do more.
Yeah.
And when you do more, you get better results. And you get better results, you want to do more.
It goes on and on.
It's linked. Yeah, totally. So you mentioned a couple of times there, like switching off is a challenge for you. Switching off, unplugging. What do you do then? How do you do it?
I would say going out on the bike switches me off.
Yep.
Because although I'm quite competitive with it, I don't take any technology with me.
Yes.
I have my phone in case I have an accident.
Yeah, but it's not active.
It's not active. It's in my pocket. I've got a Garmin on my handlebars, which tells me the time, distance, the speed. And I just go out and I just hammer myself for an hour. My mates hate me because I hammer them.
Well, because you give it that heart.
I don't let them rest.
On my word,
So I'll just go out and I'll just hammer it. And then being outside with the dog is great. Filming and creating content, videos for the companies I work with. Being creative, I think, switches me off.
Because
I like to use my imagination quite a lot.
If your missus was sat here right now, what would she say?
How do I switch off? She'd say, I don't do any housework. she would tell me I don't do any housework and that I look at my phone all the time. She works a lot of nights. She's a nurse. She works a lot of nights, so we don't necessarily see each other much when I have my downtime. Which is a challenge in itself.
Of course.
But yeah, we chill out, we watch Netflix and that kind of stuff, walk the dog together, spend time sort of outdoors.
Yeah.
I try and not to take my phone with me when I'm there.
Okay.
And I get forced into not talking about bikes while I'm there as well. She switches me off by force, I think.
But clearly you enjoy it, so.
Yeah, I do, I enjoy it, I do.
Marvellous, no, that's really good. So we've gone back to the college, the university, how fitness all started, and you mentioned before about losing a job, and that kind of hit you quite hard.
Yeah.
So I mean, what happened? I mean, you don't have to go into whatever detail you feel comfortable, but I mean, what happened and why did it hit you so hard, do you think?
Well, I was at Fit for It with Katie, and we basically just sort of, you know, when you just grow away from something.
Sure.
And the way because I'm quite competitive, I quite like the competitive atmosphere.
Right.
And that place it's very supportive and it's quite a nice place to be.
Sure.
I generally thrive in places where it's a bit more sort of, not dog eat dog, but you get what
I mean. Yeah.
I like that sort of competitive, like this is how I want to do it and I'm going to do it this way kind of thing.
Okay. Are you stubborn?
People would say so.
Okay,
yes. I guess I am.
Okay.
I can be quite stubborn. That's one thing I'm trying to work on as well, being a lot more open-minded about things.
Okay.
But it just, I think it affected me because the place, was somewhere I was quite deeply rooted with. It was my first exploration into being self-employed, and I learned a lot whilst I was there. And I think at the time, I was still quite young as well, and I kind of felt like it was me against everyone else at the time.
Yeah, okay.
And it did annoy me, and it did. We fell out for a while, and then we got talking again, and you know, we're back. We're quite good friends again now.
Yeah, yeah.
My partner still trains up there, so she's always kept in touch with Kate.
So there's a good relationship.
Yeah, I would say so.
Do you think then that by the result of this, because this is the thing that's forced you into business for yourself, mm-hmm. Do you think that initially it held you back, or do you think it was the thing that you needed to catapult you forward?
No, I think it did. It did both. I think it held me back for a little bit because I was so focused on being annoyed. And then I realised that I was in the situation I was in, and there was only one way I was going to get out of it, and that was by making the best of what I've got.
Yep.
So the gym I'm at now, I've been here for about 4 years, and when I lost my job at the other place, I didn't necessarily choose this job it chose me, thing. I was here, and I had to make the best of the situation I was in,
of course,
and it was that sort of pushed me forward. And you know, I had a car that I loved, I had, you know, a lifestyle that I loved. I didn't want to lose that, so I was sort of driving to work one day, and you know, I was in bits, tears coming down my eyes and everything, and then I was listening to the radio and the song by The Script came on. It's called Champion, I think, with Will.i.am. And I was thinking about that, and I just thought something just clicked, and I just thought, you know what, I'm not going to lose the car. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to make the best of the situation I'm in.
Sure.
And I'm going to go from there.
Really?
And that sort of...
And what happened? I mean, like, what specifically happened to make you think that way?
I think I realised that, you know, I wasn't going to find another job, and I wasn't going to get anywhere from being miserable. And everyone else who was personal training here were doing really well, so there was no reason why I couldn't.
Yeah.
The guys here were fantastic. It's a different team now. They're still great, but the guys here at the time were fantastic. Right. I got to be really good mates with them, and I realised that, you know, the situation I was in wasn't as bleak as I initially thought.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, I just pushed on. I started going back to doing what I love doing. I was training people. I was offering free sessions out. Yeah. People were taking up sort of offers after that to carry on training, and then I started building the business back up, and it seemed to be going in the right direction, and then it just went from there.
It accelerated from there, does it? Yeah. So business is good?
Yeah, business is good.
Could be better?
Anything could be better. Yeah, always could be better. Always. There's always room to improve.
Of course there is, always. So like, You said about like your mental health and stuff like that. So this was the thing that hit it quite hard initially.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, do you find that your mental health is fixed now? You've got a good grasp on it. Do you find that yourself? Like, what happened, and did it get worse? Like, how bad did it get?
It was quite bad. I was quite a destructive person to myself. I was sort of disinterested in making friends, disinterested in being around other people's. Sort of, I won't say problems, but things going on in other people's lives. And then I just sort of, that's not me. That it isn't who I am. It's not the kind of person that I want to be.
Sure.
It's not the kind of person that I should be with this job as well. So I just sort of, something happened, and I realized this, and I actually opened up, and that was a big thing for me to open up.
Did you open up to somebody, or was it just to yourself?
No, I opened up to myself. I opened up to the general manager here, who's the woman behind the desk.
Right.
But I've known for a while, but I opened up, because I was off. I wasn't myself.
Sure.
And I kind of thought, she must think I'm, insert word here. So I just thought, yeah, that's not how I want people to view me. I want people to view me with, you know, I want people to have a good opinion of me. I want to be respected because of the good person I am.
Sure.
And I opened up to her. I opened up to my partner, and I just said, "Look, I'm struggling with these things."
Yeah.
My partner's known for a while that I'm not the best person at making friends through that route, but she didn't quite know why.
Sure.
And, you know, I told her, you know, the reason why. I told her how I was feeling. And she just said, like, you know, this isn't who you are. It's not what you're like.
Sure.
And I sort of took myself for a coffee, had some food, did a lot of thinking, did a lot of speaking to people, apologized to a lot of people.
Right, okay, right.
And I just focused then on improving how I see things and focusing on being positive. And
sure.
It's something that it tries to creep back in every now and then.
Sure.
I'm still not sort of fully over things. But I think it's important to realize that you will have bad days.
Of course.
And
of course.
You can't let bad days rule your life.
Sure.
And I think once when you are having a bad day, there's always something that affects other people more.
Yeah.
And you know, I was chatting to a friend yesterday on the phone, and I've had a couple of weeks where I've sort of felt a bit low, and I was talking to him and he was talking about the health of his partner, and then all of a sudden I just thought, you've been moaning about stuff for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, one of your good mates is really worried about the health of his partner.
Sure.
And, you know, it's not as bad as it seems. You've still got your house, you're still riding bike, you're still at work.
Yeah.
Just grow up.
So, like, when you, like you said, like these last few weeks, you've had like little bits of dips where you've felt a bit low. Like, what causes that? What's the pattern? Because there's always a pattern.
Yeah, there is always a pattern, and I'm very focused on work and being busy.
Right.
And I think when you have periods when you're not quite as busy as you want to be, it does affect you.
Sure.
And I've had a few clients on holiday. I've had a few clients ill, and my calendar suddenly doesn't look as busy.
Sure.
And if I don't see loads of yellow boxes on my calendar, I start freaking out.
Okay.
Yellow boxes are what I book my clients under.
Got you.
If I don't see that many of those, I start...
So that's when you start to crash a little bit.
I start to crash a little bit.
Really? Why do you think you crashed though? What about that being empty makes you feel that way?
I think it's anxiety of not being busy, and if you're not at work, you're not being paid.
So you think what, financially, you think it's the...
Yeah, you start to think finances, and you start to, you know, you think about things you want to do and things you've got planned on doing, and then you start thinking, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that?
And then that's
the
support.
I guess pressure is, you feel pressured and you start thinking of everything that's coming.
Yeah.
But you don't focus on the problem or how to get over the problem. You focus on the problem.
Of course, yeah.
And then your mind goes in the wrong direction.
Yeah. Problem orientated rather than solution orientated. Yeah. That's what I say, yeah.
And you have to train yourself
to be that way.
To be solution oriented.
Yeah, totally. Likewise, you've got to train yourself in terms of the language that you choose to say to yourself.
Yes.
You know, because the language that you communicate is the way you see the world.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that this is something that more and more people need to be definitely aware of.
Oh,
That if your vocabulary is really limited, then you've got very limited amounts of information to classify things as.
Yeah.
So you could say things are feeling really depressed, and actually it's not depressed, it's just that's the only language that you know to use.
Yeah.
It might be just that things aren't going the right way and you just don't know what word to use.
I think wording is incredibly important.
Majorly.
And how you speak and how you word things.
Well, it is. I mean, I did an interview on BBC Radio Sheffield, and I said them as a perfect example of this. If I said to you, animal, fish, and shark, which one's the worst?
Shark.
The shark. And most people immediately will think of shark, but they're all the same thing.
Yeah.
An animal, a fish, and a shark, they're all the same.
All the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's just how you identify with each one.
Yeah.
Now, most people will go to the negative, the shark.
And a shark's only dangerous if you're in the water.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, so back to the business side. So business is good, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Business is good right now, yeah?
Yeah.
What's been like a big breakthrough for you in the business?
I think discovering the identity of the business and the projection of the business that I want.
Sure.
I think that's been the key thing. There's a lot of trends in the fitness industry.
Sure.
And as with everything, things go this way, that way, and there's loads of different stuff, especially with all the social media tools now.
Of course.
It's very easy to sort of oh, this is working, this is, must be what the industry is about.
Yeah.
And it's been very easy. And I've made mistakes in the past where I've maybe marketed the business in a way that I think is the way the industry is going.
Sure.
Without perhaps the confidence to say, actually, I don't want to do that.
Right. Right.
I want to go this way.
Of course, yeah.
And I've thought,
you've just
that's
kind
where
of been swept
is.
Up and carried along with it, yeah.
That's where I'm going. Got and on. I think finding the identity of my business has been the biggest change.
Brilliant, brilliant. And then so like in terms of you getting new clients, because you've narrowed in into yeah. your target audience, so you know they're not bodybuilders.
Yeah.
They are extremists, yeah. like extreme sports, outdoor yeah. people, fitness, like endurance, that kind yeah. of stuff. How do you go about, now you've narrowed it in, how do you go about finding them?
I think two ways. One is I use a lot of Facebook groups right. and social media groups sure. and give information on that.
Yeah.
And I'm quite specific about the information I give. I don't sort of just post adverts saying, come and train with that. I'll sure. post workout videos or explanations of how you can do that.
Right, yeah.
I've recently launched a couple of new programs which are tailored towards the sports right. I do. And I've been clever with who I've picked to help me market those.
Okay.
So I've got people doing that.
Sure.
So people can look at them and then come back to me. I think also, because I love what I do in terms of sport and who I am, I try and get myself out there and chat to people when I meet them.
Sure.
And then people sort of think, well, he's quite fit,
sure,
so
sure.
I need to be sort of asking him questions. Right, or yeah. So you make yourself sort of like the first sort of point of call
of
for
course.
Anyone who's got these questions.
Of course. And I suppose that must be quite challenging for you at times when you said that you have come from that state of having like anger or resentment to certain people, for you to then be able to just step back and be very open to anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a major breakthrough as well, I imagine.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's something that consciously I've had to work on. Mm. And you've got to accept that people do things differently.
Of course.
And now, whereas maybe a few years ago, if something wasn't the way I wanted it to be, I would probably sort of try and defend my way and say, like, this is right because
yeah.
of this, this and this.
Right.
Now, you know, if someone comes to me as a personal training client and they sort of maybe disagree with how I do things, that's fine. There are millions of other people out there who do it the way that you
well,
agree with.
Yeah, yeah.
Go and work
go with
them.
Yeah,
and
totally.
That's part of the good reason we've got the guys here.
Yeah.
We've got a varied bunch of people.
Sure.
So we can say, go and see
we can
such
move
and
to
such.
Some, yeah, yeah, totally. So I mean, the fitness industry as a whole, in the world, all over the world, it's a very, very competitive space. I mean, like,
yeah.
I think Australia is the most saturated place in the
yeah.
world, isn't it,
yeah.
in fitness? But I think the UK is probably not far behind. It's very saturated here as
yeah.
well. So how do you make sure that you do stand out? I know that you've identified your audience, which is
mm-hmm.
great, but what is it that you do to, as you talked about earlier on, as we're scrolling through that feed, how do you make sure that you get the attention back and give them the right information
yeah.
without them being bored and just thinking you're the same as everybody else?
Yeah. I think it's all about how you present yourself. So when I do any videos for my content on my channels, I make sure I'm in my sort of work uniform.
Okay.
I'm
just
never just
there.
In general training clothing.
Right.
And I took inspiration from a company who's based in the Lake District from that. And they used to film those really short, sharp, snappy videos.
Sure.
They'd have a really cool introduction. So you'd sort of stop and think, oh, what's this?
Right, right.
Continuity with the clothing he wore, how good he was at transferring the information across. So
right, yeah.
it does draw people in.
Sure, sure.
And I took inspiration from that. I like to make sure I look quite smart in my videos.
Sure,
so I'm never
sure.
just in sort of training rags.
Right.
And, you know, I like to work with my clients as well who are happy for me to use them and create videos
Perfect.
Of them.
Yeah.
So they can see me working with other people.
Got you.
And I think I stand out because I look quite professional with
sure.
how I go about things.
Sure.
I also have been doing it for quite some time, so I'm a little bit older now.
Right.
So I don't just look like the sort of the young kid that's
right, okay.
got training, got
sure.
a good physique.
Got you.
I think age and experience does project over, so
okay.
I think presentation and experience is is the main things I try and push put into my
business. Got you.
Yeah.
And I suppose, like, traditionally in this industry as well, while it is hyper competitive, it's relatively low paid, isn't it, as an industry?
Mm.
Traditionally.
Traditionally.
So, I mean, how have you gone about combating that?
You have to look at your pricing structure, and personal trainers, they charge quite a high hourly rate. And I think part of how you charge, you have to be confident within yourself.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there's a massive difference if someone comes and says, oh, how much do you charge for a session? And you go, £40 for a session.
Yeah.
To go in, it's £40. Yeah. Here's what you get for your £40.
Sure.
And then you explain to them. So I think confidence in knowing your worth,
yes,
is the main thing.
How have you developed your confidence in knowing your worth?
I've learned to realize that I've been doing this for 8 years now, which is a long time for someone to be doing it. And I must be doing something right if I've managed to last 8 years.
Right.
I've also got clients that I've trained for upwards of 3 years.
Got you.
And my retention rate is quite high.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that really gives me confidence, because I know people are coming back and they value what they're getting.
Of course.
So I feel then if my existing clients value what they're getting, there's no reason why new clients wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do feel confident in explaining what I can do for people, because I'm confident in what I have.
What do you do for people?
Improve their mindset and improve their health.
Sure.
I like to focus on health a lot,
sure,
based on, you know, whether it's how they feel about their day or how they go about their
do you work on the mindset first? Do you think that, do you have to get them conquering the mindset before they can conquer the body?
It varies on who you have. Some people have got a mindset that they're fantastically successful, they're happy with how they are, they just want to drop some weight.
Sure.
And that depends on, you know, what people's ideas of success are.
Of course, yeah.
If someone comes in who's perfectly happy that he's got a very successful business and his mindset is purely focused on that,
yeah,
you know, he's doesn't really need that much work on his mindset. Obviously, there will be something there that's making him want to change, because
sure,
he's come to see you to change.
Of course.
But I think it's personal training is a job where it's very much the focus
holistic.
Is on the first,
yeah,
the first word, personal.
Yes.
And it's always on who you've got in front of you.
Of course.
And that is where experience comes in.
Yes.
Because then you translate your experience with other people.
Of course.
Into
you,
dealing with.
Do you
what
find
you've got.
That the issues that they face mentally themselves generally are they quite the same?
I would say not. No.
Right.
You get people from all walks of life. So, you know, I've got a guy who's a professional gambler,
right,
for example,
right,
and he is very focused on, he wants to lose weight and he
sure
wants to drop his body fat.
Yeah.
But he's not overly fussed on, you know, how he looks or how he. He wants to change,
sure,
but he's not. It's not consuming.
Of course, yeah.
Whereas I've worked with people before who, you know, it's been a massive thing for them to drop a lot of weight, and you know that has been the only thing
driving
they want to
it,
work
yeah
at that,
yeah,
that drives them.
Yeah.
And yeah, you look at who's in front of you, and you then judge what you're
what
at.
You need to do.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, like, back to you then. Like, what's the best advice that you've ever received? Ever.
Do you know what? It's sticking to your guns and having a base of, you know, your core value.
Right.
And I talk about Ian Jeffries at the start, going back to him.
Sure.
I learned a lot of sort of values from him that I still keep as the base of any personal training session.
Of course.
So it's always, you know, big compound movements at the beginning and then isolate and then become more functional with the training. So
sure, right,
have a value,
yes,
and then stick to that baseline value,
right,
but don't be afraid to move
beef
around
it out,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
but
beef
don't,
it out.
Yeah, but don't transition away.
Don't transition away from what you believe in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which is what you just said earlier about the industry, about sometimes it's easy,
yeah,
to find,
yeah,
yourself pivoting.
Yeah.
In that space as well.
Yeah.
So it's good that you've got that value in place,
yeah,
isn't it?
Because
it's
we all want to make money,
yeah,
and we're self-employed. I think when you are self-employed, there is a, it's not greed, but it's a kind of like an ambition to earn money, and it does become something that you focus on.
Of course.
Because you're in charge of making it.
Yes.
And you have to then manage that desire to earn money by sticking to your values and sticking to what you believe in.
Totally.
And not just going where you think the money is.
Yeah, definitely.
Because if it's not right for you, you're not going to project yourself in a way that makes people who it is right for believe in you.
Yeah.
So it's not going to essentially work.
No, I totally get that. So like, what is next for you then? Are you, I mean, like, what's next? You've got your like own gym, you've got like your online programs, nutrition, e-learning, like, What's on your agenda next? Have you got one?
This is a tough one for me. I was thinking about this last night, actually, because I'm quite... Maybe it's a positive or a negative, but I'm very much... I like to live day to day.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about how I go about this, because I don't like paying for things that I can't afford.
Okay.
I like to have things in the bank and then pay for... So, like, holidays, for example.
Uh-huh.
The idea of booking a holiday in 7 months' time terrifies me.
Right.
But if I had the money, I'd go and book one, of course, straight away.
Okay.
So I like to, I live quite a day-to-day sort of thing, and as long as I'm happy, I'm all right.
Uh-huh.
And then I was thinking, like, does that make me complacent? It doesn't make me complacent, but it makes me just have ambition in different ways. Mm-hmm. So what is next for me? That's a good one. I'm happy just developing my business. I want to develop my business. I want to create a business where I've got clients that see me and my retention rate stays high.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to develop more of those. Things are going in the right direction at the minute. So
sure.
I'm going to stick to my focus point. I'm going to stick moving forwards with my target audience.
Of course.
And I'm going to drive it and progress with clients that share the same vision as me.
Brilliant.
And enjoy training with me
sure.
for that reason.
How many more clients can you take on before you're tapped out?
I would like to take on, I reckon if I was doing about 25 hours of personal training a week, combined with everything else I'm doing,
yeah.
I'm probably working like a 45, 50 hour week then.
Yeah.
And that would be a limit for me.
Sure.
I don't work weekends. That is the one rule I have for myself.
Okay.
I don't work weekends. I switch off on weekends. But yeah, 50 hours a week, everything combined, would be perfect. Okay. I think.
Brilliant, Adam. It's been absolutely wonderful speaking with you. It's great to find out more about your stories and everything that's happening in your life. Where can people that's listening to this or watching this, where can they find out more about yourself and what you do?
They can check me out on Instagram. I've got two Instagrams. One's for personal training, which is at acopleypt, and then one is at roaminglow. That is the mountain bike one.
Sure.
And then Facebook is the same. It's Adam Copley personal training.
Fantastic. No website?
No website.
Really? No, it's no all website. Done. Literally, all done through social.
Social media.
Incredible.
I had a website.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't the way I wanted to do things.
Sure, sure.
I prefer face-to-face and social media interaction.
Brilliant. Adam, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.